From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, President Obama comes to New York to talk about funding for infrastructure improvement. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on his conversation with Education Commissioner John King and will report on a major new player entering the casino competition upstate. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. President Barack Obama traveled to New York this week. With the Tappan Zee Bridge as a backdrop, the president called for the funding of major infrastructure projects around the country. The event was marked by some political drama as well, as the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn reports.
With construction cranes emerging from the Hudson River alongside the current bridge that connects Rockland and Westchester counties, President Obama said the expedited review and permitting process that jump-started the new bridge project is one to be replicated across the country. And he praised New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and four Democratic Hudson Valley congressional representatives in attendance for making it possible.
Thanks to their outstanding efforts, workers are building a replacement, the first new bridge in New York in 50 years. It's called the New New York Bridge, which is fine as a name, but for your next bridge, you should come up with something a little more fresh.
He noted that Congresswoman Nita Lowey, the senior Democrat on the House Appropriations Committee, was instrumental in helping to secure a $1.6 billion federal loan to help finance construction of the new Tappan Zee, the largest loan of its kind ever.
Investing in infrastructure creates jobs, strengthens the economy, and we've got to work together to increase those resources. The Republicans won't do it. The Highway Trust Fund is in jeopardy. And I hope this message rings loud and clear throughout the United States, because this project is good for the economy, creates jobs, and it's good for commuter safety.
The Highway Trust Fund is on track to run out of money by August. Obama gestured to the Tappan Zee as a reason Congress should act to replenish that fund.
Bottom line, Tarrytown, is America doesn't stand still. There's work to be done. There are workers ready to do it. Some of them are here and they're already on the job doing the work. We're proud of them.
Like Lowey, fellow Democratic Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney wants to see more money in place to enable loans like the one secured for the new bridge.
On the Transportation Committee, I'm working to expand the federal program that is responsible for getting this bridge built. That's called the TIFIA program. We need to make it bigger. We need to make it apply to more projects. And we should incentivize states to use it by changing their own laws to get the kind of efficiencies we've gotten in New York to get this bridge going the way the governor has.
Democratic Congressman Elliot Engel says both sides of the aisle need to sit down and map out a blueprint for the country.
But I think infrastructure has to be a very important component of that, because infrastructure means jobs, jobs, jobs. And unfortunately, we're not doing jobs. You know, we're having hearings on Benghazi. We're doing all kinds of other things that are a waste of time. But we should be creating jobs so that we can put unemployed people to work.
The president wants the same.
We don't need a can't-do spirit. We need a can-do spirit. That's what Governor Cuomo has, and it sounds like the state legislature was willing to work with him on this. Well, we need the Congress to work with us on these issues.
Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino and Rockland County Executive Ed Day, both Republicans, attended the speech but did not have seats. Astorino dug his tongue into his cheek, saying he turned to online ticket retailer StubHub to try and get a seat.
And as the county executives of Westchester and Rockland that links this bridge, and we have given our full support to this bridge too, I think we're both honored to be here, no matter where we're standing.
Later Thursday, Astorino was set to be formally designated the Republican candidate for governor. Astorino called Obama's speech a partisan rally that bashed congressional Republicans.
You know, I'm glad he was here. I'm absolutely glad that he came to Westchester County. This is a really important project. I really wanted to hear a lot about infrastructure and federal dollars and priorities, but I kind of came to a political event. I didn't know that.
Obama announced a plan to modernize the federal infrastructure permitting process, cutting through red tape to enable construction to begin sooner, jobs to be created earlier, and infrastructure to be fixed faster. He notes federal agencies completed the permitting and review for the replacement Tappan Zee Bridge in 1.5 years for a process that usually takes 3 to 5 years. The bridge is scheduled for completion in 2018 at a cost of $3.9 billion.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok.
Alan, President Obama was in the state this week. He was at the Tappan Zee Bridge calling for infrastructure changes, not only in New York, but around the country. And the Republican candidate for governor, Rob Astorino, was in the crowd, although he said he was put at the back of the room.
Are we surprised? Yeah. These guys, you know, you really wonder if people just conducted themselves as ladies and gentlemen, whether or not they'd get more credit than thinking, okay, if we pick the Republican candidate for governor and shove him in the back of the room. And of course, he gets a talking point. He goes around and he says to everybody, see what they did, see what they did, see what they did. You know, it is often the sort of guard that surrounds the candidates who are acting out in such a way that they look small, makes the political class look small. Astorino picks up on it right away and then goes to the back of the room, and our Allison Dunn reports all of the reporters come running over to him in the back because he has been shoved into the back of the room. Some days you really scratch your head and say, are these people children?
Speaking of children in schools, you spoke to New York State Education Commissioner John King this week. He has had to deal with a lot of issues in education, and it was a pretty eye-opening discussion.
It was, David. He's a remarkable guy. Obviously, had a story very similar to somebody like Barack Obama or Deval Patrick in Massachusetts, an African-American man who was orphaned at a very early age, went to an elite private school, although he says he eventually got thrown out, and is a gentle person, but who has really entered into the eye of the storm. I mean, you have things like the rollout of the Common Core, and he's had to take a lot of garbage about that. He's been undermined in a number of ways by a bunch of cheap tin horn politicians, you know, who go after him and see this as a fertile ground to make a name for themselves. He has to play the governor on the one hand, although the governor doesn't run the Department of Education. He has to decide on how much money they get, so therefore he gets a big seat at the table. He's got Merrill Tisch, the remarkable Tisch family, who is his boss at the Board of Regents. The Board of Regents, of course, is chosen by Shelley Silver and his group because they have all of the votes to elect the regents. So he's got to pay careful attention to what the Democrats in the State Assembly want. Well, that's enough to give you Excedrin headache number 3. And I asked him what he would do when he was done with this, because this is not a job you can balance all forever. He said he'd like to go back to teaching. He was a very successful teacher, classroom teacher, and obviously would have a great deal to offer in a college.
He also talked about the new segregation.
He did, and he's exactly right. Look, we know if you live in Scarsdale, you're going to go and there'll be some people who are of color in the school, but for the most part, they're going to be white upper-class people, so that we've somehow been able to divide the state into these areas. And even though there's no formal segregation, when you look at who's in which school, there is segregation. And he's right to raise it and courageous to do it because it's much easier to let things go.
I've been greeted to a spate of articles in the New York Times and other papers as researchers come out with more information on climate change, including the Arctic sheet melting faster than expected. And, of course, again, Obama being in the state this week on infrastructure is exactly what the governor of the state, Governor Cuomo, has been trying to push, saying doesn't matter what the cause is, it's happening.
Look, for those people who ignore climate change, they do so at the peril not only of themselves, because we saw Hurricane Sandy and all the rest, but of their children and their grandchildren. You know, I have only contempt and pity for those people who think a buck is worth more than saving the world and the future of our kids and our grandchildren. The Chartocks have just been blessed with a tiny, teensy little baby grandson, Noah. And I think of Noah and the floods and what is likely to keep on happening if we don't do something. And all I can think of is Jor-El from Superman, you know, the mythical comic book character who puts his kid on that rocket ship at the last minute as his world is blowing up. This world is going to blow up, too, in so many ways. I mean, physically, you got to wait a couple of billion years till it really blows up. But when you find something like these superstorms, which are happening all the time, and you find flooded subways and everything else, for us to look the other way as a society is just really so, so disappointing.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartock. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. The Republican candidate for governor of New York was chosen this week, and as the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports, Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino is definitely the underdog to incumbent Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Rob Astorino, the Westchester County executive, faces a steep challenge. He's 30 points behind the well-known incumbent Governor Andrew Cuomo in some polls, and he has only a fraction of Cuomo's record $33 million campaign war chest. Astorino is a Republican in a state where Democrats now dominate, and independents not registered in either major party are gaining ground. But the 47-year-old married father of three says he's used to being a long shot. Astorino has twice been elected to his current post in a predominantly Democratic county, knocking out a well-known opponent.
People say, why would you run? You can't win. Well, you know why? I ran because the issues were right, the timing was right, and I felt very, very strongly about changing the direction of Westchester. And we won.
He says he wants to translate those views to the entire state, which he says is stagnating economically, partly because of sky-high taxes. He compares living in New York to serving out a prison sentence.
A couple more years and I'm out of here. You know, the kids graduate and we're gone. We're moving to Carolina or Florida. And we've all talked to somebody who was our neighbor or a family member who are down in Florida or Georgia or wherever, and they're like, you're crazy. What are you living up there for? You know what my taxes are? They're $1,500 a year. It boggles your mind, and it doesn't have to be that way.
The former program director for the Catholic Channel and co-founder of ESPN Radio has also been a TV host. Astorino has used those skills to make up for his lack of money to advertise on television. He's released a number of web videos that focus on issues and attack Cuomo and his policies. Astorino released a video calling for the governor's health commissioner to resign, coincidentally, one day before Dr. Nirav Shah actually did leave for unrelated reasons. In another, he urged Cuomo to continue investigations of the legislature after the governor ended a commission probing alleged wrongdoing.
Albany will remain unethical to its core. I again call on Governor Cuomo to appoint that special prosecutor.
Astorino has also staked out a conservative position on social issues. He's against the Reproductive Health Act, backed by Democrats in the state legislature and Governor Cuomo. It would codify into New York state law the abortion rights provisions in the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. But Astorino says he would not actively seek to outlaw abortion in the state. He spoke at the annual gathering of evangelical Christians in Albany a couple of months ago, where he called New York the abortion capital of America for its 40% pregnancy termination rate in some locales.
Now look, I get it. Abortion has been legal in New York State for 44 years. Roe v. Wade for 41 years. But whatever happened to safe and rare?
He also addressed a Second Amendment rights rally, which was protesting New York's gun control laws, championed by Cuomo.
Rob Astorino, candidate for New York State Governor.
He wants to repeal the gun laws. While Astorino has tried to take on his opponent numerous times, Governor Cuomo has so far publicly ignored the GOP candidate. The governor was asked about a lengthy critique Astorino gave on the state budget plan.
Yeah, that's nice.
Cuomo does like to point out in speeches, without mentioning names, that Westchester has some of the steepest taxes in the nation.
Westchester County, the highest property taxes in the United States of America, period.
In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
A power partnership between Saratoga Casino and Raceway and Churchill Downs Incorporated promises to be a game changer in the race to grab the coveted Capital Region casino spot. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas explains.
Saratoga Casino and Raceway spokesperson Rita Cox says the Albany Skyline location in East Greenbush is simply the best choice to site a Capital Region casino. Speaking Tuesday morning in Rensselaer County, just across the river from downtown Albany, Cox believes partnering with Churchill Downs, the owner of several tracks and casinos in addition to its Kentucky namesake, will create jobs, grow the economy, and keep taxes down. Some 1,700 construction jobs will be created, along with 1,700 additional permanent, good-paying jobs with benefits.
It will also provide millions of dollars to the town of East Greenbush and Rensselaer County each year, and millions in additional support payments for the seven other counties in the region.
Churchill Downs Senior VP of Business Development Sean Bailey says the site is perfectly situated.
The access is just unrivaled when you compare it to any other proposal that we're aware of today. We're truly in the best position to keep New York dollars in New York.
The Capital Region stands to net over $24 million annually. Again, Rita Cox.
There will be approximately 2,500 to 3,000 gaming positions, a mix of slots and tables. There will be hotel rooms totaling 300 to 500 in a couple of different configurations. Multiple entertainment venues, including a sports bar, a nightclub, and a showroom. Multiple dining options, including a buffet, casual, and fine dining. And also a significant amount of high-end retail space in the neighborhood of 20,000 square feet. Several entertainment options to make sure that we are the entertainment destination of choice.
Cox says local arts organizations like Capital Rep and Proctor's need not feel threatened.
You know, we think that there is room for partnerships with businesses and venues across the entire region. And we have begun speaking with the entertainment venues, and we'll continue those discussions to make sure that we're working together for what's the best of both worlds.
To date, 22 companies have applied to open four casinos in New York State after voters passed the ballot proposal last November. Saratoga Casino and Raceway abandoned plans for a Vegas-style casino expansion at its home site in the Spa City, whose city council moved against a casino, but has turned its attention to East Greenbush and the Hudson Valley. The Casino at East Greenbush initiative joins the so-called E23 proposal in Albany, Howe Caverns, and a Schenectady site at the old Alco plant in the race to get approval to build a casino. The winner is to be announced in the fall. Saratoga stands to gain no matter what the outcome. Again, Sean Bailey.
In the gaming bill, there is a support subsidy for purses and breeders' awards. Whoever gets the Capital Region license will be making those payments to Saratoga.
The casino at East Greenbush would be built between I-90 exits 8 and 9. In April, the East Greenbush Town Board voted unanimously to back any reasonable casino development proposal, although a town official stressed there was no formal proposal in mind. Once word was out that Saratoga Casino was interested in the town, some residents were upset they had not been given an opportunity to vote on the idea. Former Town of East Greenbush Board of Ethics member Jack Conway told the Times Union, quote, "Nobody knows if the people of East Greenbush want a casino or not. If the state approves this, we're getting a casino, and nobody here had a chance to say a word." For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. The New York State Department of Transportation is going to fine Canadian Pacific for a five-hour delay in the reporting of the derailment of four tank cars carrying crude oil in Albany. It's the latest flashpoint in what has become a pointed debate over the transportation of oil through New York. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley reports.
State transportation officials say that a train carrying Bakken crude oil from North Dakota derailed around 4:30 Monday morning at Canadian Pacific's Kenwood Rail Yard in Albany. Four tank cars derailed from a train with 31 tank cars and one locomotive. There were no injuries and no oil was spilled. According to a state DOT press release, inspectors from the Federal Railroad Administration and the state believe the derailment may have been caused by a broken switch point, a narrow piece of rail that enables a train to move from one track to another. CP Rail spokesman Ed Greenberg explains that at the time of the incident, the four cars were being slowly moved within the yard.
The cars were basically situated where their wheels slipped off the tracks. All safety precautions were taken at the time of the incident to ensure priority response, and CP crews were able to re-rail the cars a few hours later.
State law requires that rail accidents involving freight trains carrying hazardous materials must be reported to the DOT within 1 hour. But this incident was not reported until 9:16 a.m., almost 5 hours later. Greenberg acknowledges there was a delay in reporting to New York officials.
Our railroad does acknowledge that there was a disconnect in the process pertaining to a New York State Department of Transportation reporting. Our officials did report to the Federal Railroad Administration. We quickly identified that misstep, and we've already addressed it internally. We were quite concerned that there was a misstep in following the process regarding New York State DOT.
The rail company faces a fine of $5,000 for the delay in reporting, the maximum the state can impose. People of Albany United for Safe Energy, or PAWS, member Sandy Steubing calls the amount meaningless.
They were fined the maximum of $5,000, which these companies, they could sneeze at and just consider a part of doing business.
The federal government says 9 oil train derailments have occurred in the U.S. and Canada since March of last year. Meanwhile, Albany County Executive Dan McCoy has expressed concerns about the stability of the oil the trains are hauling in recent past interviews.
The tar oil that comes down from Canada is pretty stable until you go to heat it up. And then you got the light oil that comes out from Dakota, which is very explosive on the tracks. The health and safety of our residents come first.
McCoy reportedly told local media late Tuesday that he will propose legislation to fine companies that do not report incidents in a timely manner $1,000 and a year in jail. PAWS's Sandy Steubing knows minor derailments are common, but she considers Mondays a warning sign.
These derailments happen all of the time, all over the United States. And it shows us that we cannot transport fossil fuels safely. These trains that are delivering the Bakken crude need to be off the rails.
A comprehensive crude oil transportation safety report was released by Governor Cuomo 2 weeks ago. It includes a recommendation to raise the fine for late incident reporting to $25,000.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1420 or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at the same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.